the story, it's the narrative. But the narrative, knowing the narrative, doesn't change our life. Coming to church will never change your life. Listening to a pastor will never change your life. As a matter of fact, I tell people, listen, never believe what a pastor tells you unless you check it out with what's in this book. Because you know what? We're fallible and we're sinners and we don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. So no matter where you go to church or where you're going or who you listen to, make sure you go to this book. And even this book, unless you get involved in it, means nothing. In other words, we were singing about the glory of the King, the Savior today, and people can come, and it's a narrative, it's a song, and it can be moving, but it still won't necessarily change your life. And what I want to talk to you about today is love and joy and peace. That's three of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. And especially this time of year, because I think all over this country, including me, it's this time of year we find ourselves seeking something. And I think we're seeking more love and more joy and more peace. Is there anybody in here today that could use more love and joy and peace in your life? If you could, raise your hand. And I better see everybody's hand come up, because if your hand's not up, I want you to do the sermon. This past week, what a way to start a Christmas sermon, but I have to share this with you, is I went with Bonnie to a funeral service where some people I didn't know, she knew them, she grew up with them. And there were some people there that I met I've never met before. Have you ever met someone for the first time and you go up and you're introducing and there's something about them, the peace of God and joy and love just exudes from them? You know, that's pretty rare. God, I wish I had that. I want to become a better person. I want more love. I want more peace. I want more joy. And some of these people had spent their entire life in church. And not all of them I met were any different than most people I meet, but there were a few there, you could name them, that just, it was a glow around them. They knew the love of Jesus Christ. One of the pastors there knew Jesus Christ. When he got up and spoke, I was mesmerized. He spoke for a half an hour at a funeral, and I was sucked in, because I'm going to tell you something. When someone starts preaching absolute truth about knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, you know it. You can feel it. And, oh, I want that. I prayed so, my prayer today is the Holy Spirit just comes here and renews hearts, because there is brokenness everywhere. There's brokenness here. There's brokenness among us. There's illnesses. There's tragedies. There's loss. And we come to Christmas and we all are seeking it through the narrative, and the narrative will never fulfill your heart or what you want. The gift, the tree, I don't care how beautiful you make your house with the fireplace and the candles and the right music, none of that will give you the peace and the joy and the love that God can only give you if you learn to know where to go to mine for absolute truth. And it doesn't come from going to church. And it doesn't come from listening to a certain pastor. It doesn't come from listening to Christmas music. It comes from one place. And the wise men knew what that one place was. It was a journey to get to the Christ child and to worship Him and to get to know Him. It is the relationship with the Christ child. And if we walk out of church, I don't care how often you go to church, if church remains a narrative, if church remains just a symbolic thing that you feel obligated to do, I mentioned this once in my blog, and I think some people misunderstood. I said, if you're just going to church because you feel obligated, your grandma told you to go, your mom told you to go, I'm going to tell you, stop going, you're wasting your time. You have to come to a place where there are people around you that no God and no Jesus are who are seeking God and Jesus in the same way you are. And that's when your life will change. And that's when the whole narrative changes. That's when the story becomes real and you can put yourself in the story. So I thought what I would do today, this book is filled with what I call truth. There's only one place in the entire world to get absolute truth. And that is through what I call revelation. And revelation is when God reveals information about Himself to you into your heart. He may not speak to you audibly, but you will know when He speaks. And what I have found in my life is that the more I read this, the more time I get revelation from God. He lights the passage up. He talks to me about me within these scriptures, and that's what helps change me. But God, I have so far to go. You know, this past week, I don't know when this started, but I had my cell phone. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a cell phone addict. But something came up on my cell phone, and it said, and I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to tell you because I'm just me. I'm a sinner. I'm struggling. I'm trying to get closer to God. And my cell phone told me on a message that I had averaged a little over 2 hours a day on my phone. And I thought, how is that possible? I'm not on the phone that much, and I'm not a Facebook addict. And then it hit me. At night, when Bonnie and I go to bed, she turns on the TV and watches something. And I don't have my hearing aids in. I don't have my contacts in. So that's worthless to me. So I get my cell phone out, and that's when I'm going through Facebook, and I look at the stupid videos. That's how I rack up the time. You know what? Those 2 hours a night that this thing says I'm averaging, that will never bring me love, joy, and peace into my life. Oh, it can entertain me a little, but when life blows up and something radical happens, Brett and Savannah, you're aware of this. They had a neighbor, young neighbor, pass away this week in their 30s. When something like that blows up, is the person going to run to their cell phone and go, man, I need more love, peace, and joy. I need information. Where are you going to go? The message of Christmas is so powerful and so life-changing, but we have to engage. I want to share a few passages with you because the best way for the Holy Spirit to work and open your hearts to the message is always to have God's Word in a service, because that is where He speaks. I want to go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And what I've done is I've to show you how cohesive this Bible is of a story of who Jesus is. I went back to the Old Testament, and then we're going to go to the book of John, which is very interesting. I'm not reading the typical Christmas story, but what I want to have happen is for you to understand what God did to come to us so that our lives can have more love, peace, and joy. So I go to the book of Exodus, and this is Moses. He's led his people, the Hebrews, out into the desert. You know, they've gotten away from the Egyptians. And God is leading him through the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire during the day. And Moses is still questioning. He says, God, you're going to have to do better in this. You know, the people are complaining. And God says something very interesting to Moses after they have this dialogue. Anyway, Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. This is Moses talking to God. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall separate your people. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by your name. And he said, and then Moses said to him, please show me your glory. He's asking God. That's what we all, God, show me your glory. And at the end of that, I'm going to skip a few verses. God says, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. God is so full of glory And the reason I thought about that long time, in other words, if we even get a glimpse of God, that would, how much faith would that give us? And you say, no, you can't, you would not live, because God is so perfect and so against all the sin in our life. God's power destroys all sin. He destroys all sin. And so since this body carries sin, we could not survive that if we actually looked upon God. And so all through the Old Testament, what happens over and over and over is people get weary. They do things they're not supposed to, and they end up idol worshiping over and over and over. They find other gods to fill their needs. Other gods that they go to fill their needs. And many other things. And then God comes to us with this Son. So I'm going to start in the book of John. Hey, book of John, what a great thing. Book of John is a very unique chapter because John was a personal friend of Jesus Christ. He knew Christ. He was there from the beginning when Christ started his ministry. He was there when Christ was crucified. And I think one of the things you could say about the book of John is, you know, this time of year you're unwrapping all your presents. And some of the things, you know, you got to put together, or they're complicated, or everything's complicated to me anymore. But one of the things you get is these big, thick instruction manuals. And it says, and you know, whoever came up with all this, they know that 99% of people are not going to read all that. So they give you this little insert card that says, read this first. In other words, if you're really in a hurry and you got to make the toy go or whatever it is, make sure you do these things if you're not going to read the manual, or it's not going to work. So I compare that to the book of John. If you say, all right, Ken, I'm going to leave this church today, I want to get to know Jesus better. If you do one thing, go to the book of John. That's read me first. Because it's filled with great message to connect you with Jesus Christ. And the very first chapter, John 1, I love the way it begins, because it's explaining what's going to happen. The way Christmas happened, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And I'm going to flip over to 14, verse 14. And I want to share with you, where is verse 14? It's right here. And the Word, who is Jesus, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. And then it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. The baby is born. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's interesting when you go all the way back to Exodus, what I wrote you, when God said, you cannot behold my glory, you will die. You will die, you cannot see my face. And yet, now here's Jesus, who is God. He was with God, he is God, he comes in the flesh, and it says, we can behold his glory. So what's happening there? Last year, sometime in the summer, there was a solar eclipse. Bonnie and I and some friends drove all the way to southern Illinois, and we had to take these special glasses with us. You ever notice you cannot look at the sun? It will blind you. It will ruin your eyesight. The sun is too powerful for you to actually see the sun. You can feel the effects of the sun. You can get a sunburn. It makes our food grow. It makes our grass green. It makes us feel warm. But if you look at the sun, you're going to destroy your eyes. It's too powerful. You need a filter between your eyes and the sun for you to actually see the sun and what's going on. Jesus is the filter from God so we can behold God's glory. He came so we can, because he came in a human form. His glory has been brought down, yet so that we can understand. Now I wanna read you another verse that I'm sure you're familiar with. This is I believe this fits right with the Christmas story. So the Word comes in flesh. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a beautiful verse. God loves us so much, he's sending his Son. And then I'm still in the book of John, and I want to continue. This is now the baby's born. He sent His Son. Why He loves us. And now this is nearing the end of Jesus' ministry. And this is what the book of John says. And this is the verse 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Because in My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas is there, you know, doubting Thomas. And he says to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where You are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you do know Him. And you've seen Him. Jesus came so we know God. And Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in Me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on My own or My own authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me, or else believe for the sake of all the miracles you've seen. Oh, God has gone to great lengths to bring us back into the fold so that all of us can have more love and joy and peace in our life. There was a writer in the 1800s named Mark Twain. I guess his big work was The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. I'll give you something to think about. I know I come up with crazy stuff, don't I? It's Christmas and we're talking about Huckleberry Finn. Anyway, that was the mid-1800s. But I think this is a unique analogy. I actually got this. I was listening to Tim Keller, a pastor online, and he didn't use Huckleberry Finn. He used a different book, but I love the analogy, so I thought I'd change it a little bit. The writer, the creator of Huckleberry Finn, Mark Twain, wrote this great story. And I wrote down, you know, it's been a long time since I read the book. You know, you have characters, Tom Sawyer, Huck, Jim, the widow Douglas, Paul, the drunk dad, and there were others. And so he creates this world, like writers do that write novels. He created this world. And if you could imagine that the characters in that book, what if they would have wanted to know Mark Twain? Who created this? Who created this dialogue, this story that we're in? Where could they go? Could they go further down the Mississippi or into the Missouri hills to find God? Where would they go to find God, wanting to know how did we become part of this story in this book? Huck and all them and Tom Sawyer. How did they be? Why are we here? Why are we in this narrative, this story? And the only way they could come to know Mark Twain, the author of the book, would have been if Mark Twain would have wrote himself into the story. If he would have became one of the characters, that's the only way they ever got to know him. God has written Himself into our story here on this earth, after we changed it by becoming sinners in the Garden of Eden. He wrote Himself into the story, for God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. Why? Because we need a Savior to get back to Christ so we're filled with more love, peace, and joy. Look, I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons that we suffer so many people suffer so much during this time of the year is because our perspective is focused on this life here and now. In other words, if I don't get the success I need here and now in this life, if I don't find whatever it is I'm looking for, the right wife, the right husband, to have the right bank account, the right car, in this life, if I don't make it in this life, I'm done. And if something tragic, if someone leaves me in this life due to death, who I've loved, or disability, there's all kind of tragedies, or illness, then How can I cope with that? Because this is all there is, and that's not what God and Jesus are telling us. If we change the narrative that this is not all, no, there will be eternal life for those who connect with Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Lord and Savior. And then all things will be restored. All things, everything we've lost is going to be restored. And that is the message of Christmas. So when we meet by the Christmas tree and we're handing out gifts and we have sorrow in our heart because, you know, there was someone that should be here, it's going to be okay because we, are, as Christians, are not tied to this 60, 70, 80, 90 year life. We are eternal beings. We are here temporary. We are here, as Apostle Paul said, we're in these temporary problems and issues, but it's going to compare nothing to the glory that awaits us on the other side. So what that does is should free us, and it will free you, when you're able to grasp the true message of Jesus Christ and know that when I'm with Him, the Bible says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is the life that will carry us from this life into eternity where we will be reunited. And we'll talk more about this coming year. I want to get involved in Revelation. I've never taught on Revelation. That's mainly because I've been studying it for numerous years now. That's a complex thing, but I'm learning some interesting things. Here's what I want to have happen before we come up to communion. I'm going to have the choir get communion first in just a minute, and then you can get situated. But I just want everyone here to know Jesus. I want you to know that there is a true Savior, that this book is the truth, and the only truth comes from God. And why do I know that? Because God made everything. He created everything. He knows everything. That's the only truth there is. It will change your walk. It will change your daily existence when you're walking with Jesus Christ. Can we all do better? Oh my gosh. I've learned my lesson. Rather than look at videos for 2 hours, I'm going to spend time in prayer. How many, you know, there's some great Christians in here. I know that. I'm not going to make you stand up. But how many of you have actually spent 20 minutes with God, just you and God? You want to come down and finish the sermon again? No. No, but it's tough, right? I mean, we get it, and that's wonderful. And I'll tell you that the more, so the direct answer, how do we get more joy, peace, and love in our life? How do we do that? When we've suffered loss, when we're going through hard times, when things aren't, they're not fitting the narrative we would like it to be. We want the picture postcard. We want the perfect church service. We want the perfect fireplace and the dog on our lap for you dog people and stocking stuffed and the right presents and the right toys. That will not bring you the love, joy, and peace that you're truly seeking in here. There is a key that all of us have. There's a hollow spot in every one of our souls and every one of our hearts. And the only thing that will fill that is Jesus Christ and knowing Jesus Christ and walking with Jesus Christ. He will change your path. He will change who you are. Let's bow our heads. Father, there are hearts out here right now that need you. I need you. I just ask right now in this power that you would send your Holy Spirit into this place and let them feel your touch this morning. Give them hope. Let them see your star so that they're drawn to you. Let them feel your power. And right now, right where we're all sitting, you can pray this prayer silently with me. Father, I am lost. I am broken. I've done so many bad things, sinful things. I continue to do these things. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your peace. I ask you to empower me so that I can get closer to you. I need to know you. I want to walk with you. I want that peace that with those people I met. I want God's radiance to shine through me. That love, that tenderness. Forgive me, Father. I want to know Jesus. I want to be accepted by Him. In this moment, God, I'm going to give you my life from this moment. I want to spend more time with you. I want to know you personally. And if you prayed that along with me, the Holy Spirit and God heard your prayer, you can be renewed from this moment on. Carry on the relationship. So would the choir please come up? You're not singing yet. Very informal services we have. Now, I don't want to break the mood of the Spirit, but you know what? That's okay, because it's exactly what I'm talking about. The people that are here with me all the time, they know Kent's lost half the time. I am. I rely on the Holy Spirit for everything. I love all you people. I want you to have the peace and joy that I experience quite a bit in my life. Always know. I just want you to have that. So if we could have Tom and Peggy come up and Barb, we're going to prepare here for communion. Well, the way we're going to do communion here, if you've prayed that prayer, you're welcome to this communion here. Communion is a physical way. It's a symbol that says, yes, I want to be part of God's family. I want to be part of Him. I want to be part of this joy, this peace, this love. And what all this is symbolic of what Jesus did for us that allows us to connect to eternity. On the night He was betrayed, He sat with His disciples and He took a loaf of bread and He broke the bread. And He said, "This is my body broken for you. I'm going to lay my body down because I love all you. I want you to have the love, the peace, the joy that I know with Jesus." And He took the bread and He ate it and He dispersed it to the disciples. And then He took the cup and He said, "This represents my blood, the blood of a brand new covenant." It's not about the Old Testament laws that you have to fulfill all these laws. No, you come to me. I'm going to pour my blood out. And when my blood is spilled on that cross, I'm going to die the death that you all deserved. But I'm going to take it on. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to do this for you because I love you. I want you to know the joy, the peace, the love that I have with my Father in the kingdom. This is the blood shed for you for a brand new beginning. So when you come to the table today, be mindful of Jesus Christ and everything He's done for us. Now we're going to have this side here come down this aisle and go back. And this side here will line up and take communion from this side. So come, for all things already.